Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. It's good to be in church here this morning. It's good to see you. Isn't it good to be seen? Someone is glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you're here today, and I think the Lord's glad that you're here today, and so let's delve into His Word and see what He might have for us. I appreciate the teachers this morning who taught all of the kids, those who are teaching upstairs now, my dad who is with us today and taught the adult Sunday school class this morning. It's just good to be in God's Word. It's good to be amongst God's people. And so let's continue this morning in Acts chapter number 9 and continuing in the subject from last week. Let's start in verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You know, Saul was a pretty bad dude, men or women. I mean, that any of this way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it used to be said that people who followed Jesus Christ were people of the way. And so he persecuted those who were of this way, and he didn't care if they were men or women. He was non-discriminatory in that regard. Verse number 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you, God, as I read this, thank you for saving the Apostle Paul. And God, were it not for you appearing to him and him being saved, God, many of us may not have heard the gospel. And God, I thank you for using that man. I thank you for him responding to the gospel. I thank you for him. I thank you for saving him. I thank you, God, for him being diligent and following you in his life. God, pinning many of the words of our New Testament whereby we might grow. God, certainly he was a vessel used of you. And God, we thank you for the grace that you gave to him. And God, the way that he used it to be a blessing to those that he ministered to, not just in his time, but even to us today. And so, God, I pray that you would help us. God, as we meet today, I pray that you might be here, that you might speak to your people. God, that you might move in a way in their hearts, God, that I can't. God, if they're saved, they possess the Holy Spirit of God. And perhaps the Holy Spirit has been quenched in them recently. Perhaps the Holy Spirit of God has been grieved by them recently. God, we pray that today, God, that the Holy Spirit might speak and might convict and might reprove and might set us aright with you today. I pray that you'd help us, God, as we delve into the sacred scriptures, the things given to us by inspiration of God, that you would speak. God, that it wouldn't simply be the words of a man, but as Paul said, as it is in truth, the word of God, which will effectually work in them that believe. And so, God, I pray that you would effectually work in the hearts of the believers. And even now, might everyone in this building pray that they might receive something from you. And that their answer, Father, would be, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, and that we might all be helped and encouraged through your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, last week, we used this text here, and particularly in verse number 6, Saul's first question after his conversion, understand that eventually Saul's name would be changed to Paul. So if I say Paul this morning, I realize it was Saul at this point. Eventually he becomes Paul. And so his first question after being saved is this: what's next? What do you want me to do, Lord? My life has changed. I know things are different. The scriptures tell us I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things are new. So what am I supposed to do next? And we saw last week that the Lord tells him, go down to Jerusalem, go to the city there, and it'll be told thee what thou shalt do. He gets down there. He meets a man named by the name of Ananias, a saved man who helps him, who instructs him, who tells him to go ahead and be baptized. And he follows the Lord in believer's baptism. And then he takes him and he introduces him to the believers there at Jerusalem. And Saul or Paul begins to surround himself with good Christian fellowship. And Saul is on his way. And Paul is off and running and he is beginning to follow the will of God. And last week we looked at the will of God for people. What do you have me to do? And what we learned is this. God's plan for all saved people when it comes to the will of God in the scriptures is the same. It's exactly the same for all of us in this regard. We looked at the seven different things that is the will of God for every believer. And that is, number one, we saw reconciliation. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the will of God. If you are a sinner, if you have not been saved, God's will is that you be saved. And if you are saved, God's will is that you enter that ministry of reconciliation that's been given to you, and you tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ. That is God's will, not just for me as a preacher to tell people about Jesus Christ, but for you as His child to tell others about Jesus Christ. That's God's will for all of us. Secondly, we saw His will is sanctification for all of us to be set apart, to live holy, clean, and separated lives for His purpose, something that is different in 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should learn how to possess this vessel or this body in sanctification and in honor for Him. And then we saw thirdly, that tied right to our next point, which is presentation. And Paul says, I beseech you in Romans 12, by the mercies of God, that ye present this body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is this. God, I am not just trusting you with my soul for eternity, but I'm trusting you with this body and this life for the rest of my life. And I'm presenting it to you, and whatever you would do with this body and however you would have me conduct myself in this life, I am yours. I'm a live sacrifice for you. Use me. And then that leads to something else in Romans chapter number 12 that is the will of God for all of us. And that's a great transformation. To be, as we submit to the will of God and present our bodies a living sacrifice, God begins to change us. You know, there's a lot of people that are trying to change themselves. But when you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit of God and the power inside of you and God's Word and you submit to God's will in these things, God begins to change you from the inside out. And He gives you a power that you never had before. And things that you couldn't say no to before, all of a sudden the Spirit of God helps you to say no to those things now. It's a supernatural thing that God gives us. And as that works in us, we are transformed. We become more like Christ, and that is God's will for us. We saw that it is God's will that we be in submission. In submission, and specifically in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, to every ordinance of man, to the kings and to the governors. And so long as the ordinance of man and the kings and governors do not directly contradict the scriptures, for we ought to obey God rather than men, then we are submit to those authorities that God has placed in our life. And that gives us a good testimony in this world. That we're not rebels. That we're not just way out there in left field. But that we are different. But not different in the sense that we still cannot submit ourselves to reasonable authorities that we recognize are placed there by God. And then sixthly, we saw that there ought to be, it is God's will that we have some devotion towards our spouse, towards our children, towards our parents, towards our employers. And all of those things are to be done in our life. All of those relationships and the way that we are devoted to one another is to be as to Christ, as we submit ourselves to Christ. And then last we saw that it is the will of God that we be thankful or that we have gratification. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's pretty easy to be thankful for the good things, but with God's power and with salvation, we can be thankful for even the tough things, knowing that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so these seven things are true for all of us. That is the direct will of God for every one of us. And this is where we must start on these things here. If we are to know God's will, then it is clearly spelled out in Scripture. We are to submit to those things. Now, there are some things I didn't cover last week, and that we can deduce from those seven things that we learned. And that is this. Let me just give you these real quickly if you're taking notes. You can learn that through those things, the will of God for you, number one, it is not a dangerous thing. It is not dangerous to submit to God's will for you. You know, this was Jonah's error. He thought when God said, I need you to reconcile in Nineveh, he said, oh, but those Ninevites, they're wicked. That's a dangerous place to go. If I go there, they're going to kill me. If I go there, something bad is going to happen to me. And what Jonah found is that the most dangerous place was to be away from the will of God. And the safest place to be was in a town of 600,000 people walking down the street saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And yet God would protect him there. But as he's out away from the Lord in the middle of the boat, that's where the storm came. And so the will of God is not dangerous for us. And not only that, the will of God is not distant. So many people look at the will of God as if it's 20 years in advance. And if you just go over that list of things that we looked at and I just rehearsed, all of those things are today. They're things that we can work on today. I can be thankful today. I can be devoted today. I can do all of these things today and stop worrying about what's going to happen in 20 years and just trust that the right road will lead out at the right place if I just submit to the will of God today. Don't get so fixated on the future. Follow God today and trust Him with the direction of the path. Not only that, but I could say that the will of God is not divided. It's not going this way and that way. It's one thing. It's these things for you. In Romans chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2, it says that the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect for you. Doesn't mean that it's good. I can choose good, better, or best in the will of God. It's that God's will is good for me. It is acceptable to me and others. And I'm learning that God's will for my life, it's just, the more I follow it, it's just perfect. And His way is perfect. And not only that, but fourthly, the will of God is plainly, clearly, not difficult to discover. We saw it. We don't have to wonder about where it is. It's clearly spelled out in Scripture for us. We just must act. The Scripture tells us that the way of the righteous is made plain. And so this morning what I would like to look at is something else, and that is this. We've covered the will of God. We've defined that. But we'll delve into a little bit more specifics, and that is this. The plan of God. Many people confuse the two. The will of God with the plan of God. Remember, the will of God is the same for every one of us. God wills that all believers do those things discussed. However, most Christians want to find out what they should do about a situation, a spouse, a job, an education. This is the plan of God, the specific plan for me. And what you'll find is that the Lord will not reveal the plan without you adhering to the will. If you'll put yourself in the way of the will of God, then the plan of God will begin to unfold. All of those specifics. Seek the plan of God without doing the will of God, it has been said, and you will find neither. So let's not get the cart in front of the horse. Although I was thinking about that this week, that saying is probably outdated. Let's not get the trailer in front of the truck. I was driving to Western Montana back and forth this last week. The roads were horrible. I could not believe how many semis we saw in the ditch, and the trailer was in front of the truck. And I got thinking, I was talking to my dad about it as we're going down the road. I cannot imagine, and Delvin, I mean, you're a truck driver, some of you are truck drivers. I cannot imagine, I was just trying to imagine how that scene must unfold. If you're up in that big cab and you're already, 45 feet above the asphalt, right? And you're way up there in that trailer. I've done it with a little trailer, and it never jackknifed completely. But with that big old 53-foot trailer or whatever it is, if that thing starts swinging, man, in a heavy load, that's some power. I mean, yeah, you're going to be driving at that thing, and your whole hind end is swinging around this way, and whoo! And then it would come all the way around, and like I said, we saw trailers in front of trucks. And that's not what you want. Trying to discern who I should marry, trying to discern what job I should take when I'm not adhering to the clear will of God is backwards for us as Christians. Let's work on the first seven things here, and then God will begin to unfold the plan for our life. You say, now how do I say, Pastor, I'm looking at those and I'm implementing those things, and I have been implementing those things, and I have some questions about the plan. I have some questions about the specifics of God's plan for me. And how is that revealed to me? How do I know what God's specific plan is for me? And I'm going to give you five things this morning that will help you to discern the plan of God as you are already following the will of God. Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. A familiar verse, and it should be, because it's a very important verse in the Bible, one that should be memorized, one that should be followed and adhered to, and not forgotten. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God and what it is, what it means to us, and how we should feel about the Word of God and what it does for us and why we should love it and how we should love it and what we should do with it. And he says in verse number 105 of Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Last week we spoke a little briefly about the fact that God's word is your bread. It is your water. Without God's word, as a Christian, you will die spiritually. You will shrivel up on the vine without God's word being fed to you and without you partaking of it, without you meditating on it, without you adhering to it and obeying it and following. And God's word to us is more than bread and it is more than water. It's so many things, but here it's a lamp and it's a light to our feet. God's word will keep you just as a lamp or a light will from heading down the wrong path. It may not show you, I don't know, we walked through the woods this last week and we had these little headlamps. And I'll tell you what, I've never had a migraine in my life, but those are like LED lights in those little headlamps, and walking through the woods in the middle of the night at 4 a.m, and with that little thing bouncing around off the snow, man, felt like a migraine coming on. But, with those lamps, when you're walking, you can't see out there 200 yards out. Those lamps give you enough light to just let you take the next step, take the right path, not veer off down into the canyon here, not go off over there. It gives you enough light to show you where the logs are to step over. It gives you enough light to show you where the holes are so you don't sprain an ankle. And that's what God's Word is for us. As we read God's Word and as we study God's Word and as we meditate on it, and we don't just know it, but we love it and we obey it and it's a part of our life and we submit to the preaching of it and we love the preaching of it and we love the teaching of it and we love to read it and it becomes a part of us, then it just gives us enough light to keep us on the right path in the next step. You need the Word of God to light the path. You need the Word of God. And could I say this? You need it every day. Amen. You need it every day. You need to read it every day. I don't know how your day unfolds. I know how your schedule is. Everybody's got different schedules. But make it a point to be in God's Word every day so that you have the light. You say, well, I can't read 40 pages a day. Nobody said you need to. Get in it. Read it. Read a chapter. Start with Proverbs. Read a proverb a day. Read some stuff in the New Testament. Whatever. Get a little Bible chart and cross off every day. I read chapter 34. And tomorrow I'm going to read chapter 35. Start somewhere if you don't read God's Word faithfully, because you need His light. It will keep you from sin. Oh, it will keep you from sin. It will help you to live a clean life. You know, it's pretty hard to steal when you have the words, "Thou shalt not steal," ringing in your head. It's pretty hard to covet when you remember, "Thou shalt not covet," and it's right there in your mind because you've been in God's Word. It's pretty hard to lust when you remember that Jesus said, "Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart." And you've committed that to memory. And that light that it gives you, it keeps you from those things. It's pretty hard to slander. It's pretty hard to gossip. It's pretty hard to spread rumors when you realize that death and life are in the power of this tongue. And that the tongue is a fire. And it's a world of iniquity. And how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And that I can do great damage just with this thing right here. And I've committed that to my memory. And I know those things are true. And God's Word lights the path so I don't go down that road. We need it. And God will, as we submit to that plan of God, God will give us light. Through His will of God, God will give us light through His Word. It's a light to our path. You know, when you're walking, I've never seen someone walking in the dark with a flashlight turned off. Right? It's as foolish as to do that as to walk around with a Bible without ever opening it up and letting it light the path. So you want to know the plan of God? Open it up. Turn on the switch so you can see where you're walking. And God will give you light. And the more you're in it, and the more you obey it, don't worry about the things in the Bible that you don't understand. Because can I tell you something? Those things are limitless. Do you realize who wrote this Bible? God. You're not going to figure out God completely. He's going to reveal some things, but there are going to be some things that are always going to boggle your mind in this thing. And you say, well, what should I do? Worry about the things that you can't understand. Take care of the things that you do understand. And follow those things and then let God give you more light. And He will over time. There is stuff in God's Word that I've read, you know, for 20 years. And then all of a sudden it's like, huh? That's what He was saying there. And sometimes it's just a matter of, I wasn't reading it the right way. Sometimes it's a matter of, I'm at a different point in my life. And all of a sudden the verse makes sense in a way that it never did before. I thought it meant one thing, but all of a sudden it's like, whoa! Because of this going on in my life, I see it now. That's what He was talking about. You need it. Keep in it. God's Word, we need it. It's a lamp and it's a light. And God will reveal His plan, first of all, through the Word of God. Not only that, look at Galatians chapter number 5. Look at Galatians chapter number 5. Uh, a portion of Scripture that we spent 10 weeks in this summer and fall speaking about the fruit of the Spirit. But in verse number 18, understand that when you get saved, God gives you His Holy Spirit. He comes and He dwells inside of you. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of His. And you are baptized into Christ or put into Christ, and you are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And God has given you the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you. Look in verse number 18. He says this, but if ye be what? Led of the Spirit. You can also write down Romans 8, verse number 14. As many as are led of the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You know what you will find to be true in your Christian life? If you will allow Him to, the Holy Spirit of God will lead you. He will guide you. And He will gently lead you every day if you allow Him to. When I heard we were singing this song, The Haven of Rest, and that song said, it stuck out to me because I was thinking about this point. It said, when I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. How many of you recognize that sweet voice of God in your life? The Holy Spirit of God will come up alongside of you and say, don't talk like that. Talk like that. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Just over a few pages to the right. Look at Ephesians chapter number 4. Be responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. When God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, respond, obey. Because the Holy Spirit of God is grieved in you when you are disobedient. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or to building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You see how the Holy Spirit of God is grieved? It's grieved by corrupt communication. And by not instead using our words to build up, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, all disobedient things, be put away from you. And so the Holy Spirit of God will be grieved in us if when we don't obey it, when we don't listen to it. Not only that, it will be, the Scriptures tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, He will be quenched in us. Quench not the Holy Spirit of God. Ironically, that verse follows, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He goes on to say, quench not the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we were out and hunting this last week and hiking up through the mountains and through the snow and everything. About partway through the day, we'd find some place to sit down and pull out our lunch, make a little lunch, and someone would pull out some matches, maybe a little bit of fire starter, and up there in the woods, we'd start a little fire. Man, there's something about a fire, and when you're cold and you're wet and you've been hiking, it's just revives the spirit a little bit. It's kind of amazing, you know, and just a little bit of heat and a little bit of warmth. That's what the Holy Spirit does to you. He gives you a little bit of heat. He gives you a little bit of warmth. You know what? When we were done with that fire, you know what we'd do? We'd take a bunch of snow out and we'd throw it on that fire and you'd hear it go sizzle and we would quench out the fire. And you can do that with the Holy Spirit of God. You come into church and something is ignited inside of you. You read something in the morning and the Holy Spirit of God speaks to you and there's a little bit of a flame there. There's a little bit of spark and God's actually working on you about something, speaking to you about something. And then all of a sudden, though, He says, do this or don't do that. And then you just go ahead and you plunge into it anyways, or you ignore that still small voice, and then He is just quenched. Right. And the fire's gone and the zeal's gone and you no longer want to do what He would have you to do. And so don't grieve Him. Don't quench Him. Not only that, we need something else. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. He will lead you. He will guide you as you respond to Him, as you obey Him. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. But we need something else. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7, where it says this. For we walk by what?
Faith.
Oh. And not by what? Sight. You know what else we need? We need the faith of God. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 3. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. I get thinking of, there's so many examples of this in Scripture that God gives us to us. I mean, you had to think when the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt and they're brought down there to the Red Sea, Moses lifts up his hands and the waters rise up. The Bible says that the waters were a wall. And he says, okay, guys, start heading through. You got to think that somewhere in that 2 million people, as you walk through there, people are looking at those walls of water on each side, wondering, how long are those going to stay up? Are you sure we're heading the right direction? Like, what if Moses' arms get tired? He just kind of lowers up. What's going to happen then? I mean, you got to put yourself in that scenario. There'd be doubt, but the Scriptures say that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. And he says here in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse number 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not what? Unto thine own understanding gets us in trouble so many times when it comes to the Christian life. We just rely on human wisdom rather than the wisdom from God's Word, rather than the faith of God. Verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what's the corresponding result of this? He shall direct what? Thy paths. He's going to give me the path. As I acknowledge Him and as I walk forward in faith. And so I am to simply trust God, to trust Him, to have faith that as I walk according to His will, He will direct me. Amen. I don't have to worry about it. As I submit to His will, I have faith that He's going to make the path clear for me. He's going to give me a plain path. I got the Word. I've got the Spirit. I'm following those things. I'm submitting. I'm listening to those things. God's going to take me to the right place. Amen. The faith of God. Simply trust Him. Could I say this? Sometimes people get so confused. They're looking and anticipating where they're going to go. And they start looking for what is called open doors. And they say, I have an open door over here. Let me say this just about this thought. God will open doors for us. But let me say this. In life, there's a lot of open doors. Be careful. Instead of anticipating, well, I think God might be doing this. And you know, I ate my oatmeal this morning. And when I put my spoon in it, you know, there was a letter. And that letter meant this. And this is what God, I think that, stop. I ate SpaghettiOs and it was spelled out in there. Stop. Have faith that He will direct you and don't worry about it. He will open the right door and don't try to anticipate, well, I think He's going to open this door over here or that looks like a pretty good avenue there. I think He might be doing that. There's a lot of doors and some of them are traps for you. And when I went to Bible school, I had a good, my best friend I met down there in Bible school. I'd known him before, but we became good friends when we went to school and lived right across the trailer park from me. And we ended up working together and going to class together. And he was 17 when he came to Bible school. And I just graduated from high school. And when he came down there, he had just turned down 11 full ride scholarship offers for basketball. He's a good basketball player. Some of them 1A schools, Pac-10. You know, most people thought he was crazy for turning down the basketball, 11 full-ride scholarship. Some of them, coaches calling him and writing him multiple letters trying to recruit him to come to play their colleges. But he knew, and God was showing him, no, I've got a different path for you. That's not the path for you. And I could tell you, one of these days, perhaps we'll have him down here to preach for us because now he pastors the North Star Baptist Church in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll tell you what, he does not regret turning down a full-ride scholarship to Arizona State to instead pursue God's plan for his life and go to Bible school. When to a lot of people, that didn't make sense. God had a path for him. God had a plan for him. and he followed that. You say, but there was an open door. What could he have done with basketball? You know, most people that I've seen go into basketball don't amount to a hill of beans for God. I'm just being honest with you. How can you be involved in a local church if you're playing all the time? Right? And not only that, the whole basketball environment is very, very, very difficult to be a Christian in. I'm not saying that there's not some there, but I've seen so many basketball stars come up through high school saying, you know, Jesus Christ, save me and that. And then they get into that environment. Have you ever been to an NBA game? Man, it's a rough environment. I went one time. I felt like I was at a rap concert. It was grieving to the Holy Spirit of God in me. I couldn't hardly get out of there. That's a rough environment. There's one basketball star. I liked him. As a high school player came up, he wanted to change the NBA logo to a cross. Instead of Jerry West is the basketball logo. Instead of Jerry West, he wanted, when I get to the NBA, I'm going to be a star and I'm going to talk him into changing it to a cross. You know, after 3, 4, 5 years in the NBA, his interviews are full of swear words. He's tatted up. There's nothing associated with Jesus Christ anymore. What am I saying? It's a rough environment. Maybe perhaps God has that for some people, but it was a different path. It was an open door for this man, but God had a different path for him. And God will give you that path if you'll just have faith. Well, I don't know where it's going to pan out. I don't know how it's going to work out. You don't have to. Let God work out those details for you. You know, let me say this. When Peter stepped out of the boat, he stepped out in faith, right? But he also stepped out because Jesus said, step out. He had God's word that said, step out of the boat. Hey, if you're Christ out there, command me to come out unto you. And he bid him to come out. A lot of opportunities to do stuff in faith. Make sure that God is calling you out through his word, through his Holy Spirit, and have faith that he'll take you the right direction. Not only that, look at Proverbs 19. Look at Proverbs 19. We need the Word of God. We need the Spirit of God. We need the faith of God. Proverbs 19, we need the counsel of God. And that starts with the Lord himself. Look at verse number 20. Hear what? Counsel. And receive instruction. That thou mayest what? Be wise where? In thy latter end. You want to be wise in your latter end? You want to spend a life? You want to be able to look back and say, man, I made some wise decisions there. Or better yet, the Lord helped me to make wise decisions there. Then you know what you'll do? You'll hear instruction. You'll hear counsel. You'll receive instruction. Of course, that starts out first and foremost with the Lord. Verse number 19 and verse number 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel, what? Of the Lord. That shall stand. We need his counsel. Let me tell you this. But God uses his people to counsel as well. Don't surround yourself with counselors who will tell you what you want to hear. Surround yourself with counselors who will tell you what you need to hear. There's a lot of people that will just kind of pat you on the back and say, yeah, you're just doing fine, when you're not, just because they want to remain friends. And there's no good counsel there. You need someone, you need counselors who are willing to say, yeah, I've been through that or been through that, and this is what God's word says on this here. You're kind of going there, and I think that road ends there. And this road over here, according to God's word, what I've experienced, it ends over here. That's what you need. David had such counselors. He had a counselor in Nathan who stood up and said, thou art the man. You did wrong there. You stepped out of the plan of God with Bathsheba. That was not in the plan. You transgressed there. And I want to still be your prophet, and I still want to be your friend, but you stepped out of bounds there. You need to hear that. Yep. And you need those counselors. You also need counselors. He had them the other way. David had the counselor in Jonathan. He was a good friend. He was a good counselor. And a good counselor, sometimes it's interesting, they will see things in you that you cannot see in yourself. You're too close to yourself to get an objective viewpoint. And I think about Jonathan. I think it's illustrated with Jonathan when he was talking to David. David had been wandering around the wilderness, chased by Saul. Probably didn't know what his future held. And Jonathan said, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth." You know, there are some counselors that can see things in you that you can't see in yourself. And those people will be a blessing to you. They'll be a help to you, A, if you're in the wrong, but B, if you're on the right path, but it's just a little bit dark right now. And say, "I know God's going to use you. And I know God's working through you. And I know that everything's not rosy and bright right now, but you're doing the right thing. And God has a plan for you. And God will still work through you." You need those things in your life. The scriptures tell us that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. Do you get the point? We need counsel. We need help. And God will use those around you, and especially saved brothers and sisters in Christ, to help counsel you. And access that. You can ask a trusted brother or sister what they think about something. And a good counselor won't always necessarily tell you exactly this is exactly how you have to do it, because sometimes there are different ways it could go. But a good counselor will help you see both sides of the picture so you can see where this road leads and where that road leads. Well, if you go this direction, kind of looks like it's going to end up like that. And if you do it this way, well, then these would be the repercussions, or this is the way that would turn out. You need those counselors in your life. You have those counselors in here. And brothers and sisters in Christ, you have that counsel here in your pastor. And let me just say this. My door is always open. I'm not too busy if you have a question. You can call. You can text. You can say, "Pray for me." You can say, "What do you think?" And I'll be there. Counsel, it's important. The family of God provides that for us. And not only that, look at Philippians chapter number 4. The plan of God. We need the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the faith of God, the counsel of God. And then lastly, in Philippians chapter number 4, we need prayer to God. Look at Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." In everything, by prayer and supplication, and thanking God for this, let your requests be made known unto God. And as we pray to Him, here's the byproduct of that prayer as we seek His plan for us. Look at verse number 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know what He gives? He gives a peace. That He's leading you the right way. That you might not know how it's all going to work out, but there's this peace inside that I can't say it. You could not say it any better than the way the Lord says it there. It passes understanding. When you have it, there's nothing like it. To know that the Lord is leading you. You followed His Word. You followed His Spirit. You're walking in faith. You're listening to counsel, and you're praying about it, and then He pours out His peace that you're going the right way. It's going to turn out right. I'm leading you down this path. Keep trusting me. It's going to work out. Man, that's something. You can go through about anything. And You can go through anything in life when you have that peace. It passes understanding. In the construction world, in every trade, there are tools needed to get the job done correctly, right? There's nothing worse than trying to use a screwdriver or a pliers, let's say a pliers, as a hammer. How many have done it and would admit it? I can't find a hammer, so I'm just going to use the channel locks, right? And kind of beat that thing, and it's nothing worse, you know? And they say that, I mean, in doing anything, the tools make all the difference. You have the right tools, and the job just goes easier. You know, the framer's tool belt is different than an electrician's tool belt. There's different tools in there because it's a different job. The plumber's tool belt is yet different than an HVAC technician's. Everybody's got a different set of tools. And let me tell you here this morning, if you're seeking the plan of God for your life, these are the tools you need. They're the tools you need. You need the Word of God. You need to listen to the Spirit of God. You need the faith of God. Trust the faith of God. You need the counsel of God and His people. You need prayer to God and that peace that He gives. And He will direct your paths. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Let's follow the Word of God. It's the light. Let's listen to the Spirit of God inside of us, and let's not grieve Him or quench Him. Let's keep the faith of God and trust Him even though it might be dark and it might not make sense. Let's follow the counsel of God and realize that in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And then let's keep praying to God and then receive that peace. And let me tell you, the specifics of the plan just begin to unfold. You see, the will of God is more about who you are. And the plan of God is more about what you're going to do. Be obedient to the will of God. And it's going to be so much easier to discern the plan of God for you. Become who God wants you to be by following His will. And then God will direct you into what He wants you to do for His plan for you. Let's stand for a word of prayer here this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, I thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for giving us the tools that we need, God, to make it through this life. I thank You, God, just for Your word. God, it's limitless. It's boundless. Your Scriptures tell us that. There's so much in it for us. God, I thank You, God, for just being so good to us and showing us exactly what Your will for us is and then giving us the tools and the tool belt, Father, that we might find Your specific plan for us. May we all yield to it, submit to it, follow it, God, and enjoy it because it's been given to You by us. We love You. I love You. And I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.